go. Hey, here we are, reallibertymedia.com, rlmradio.xyz, enemy of Facebook. Yes, we have been deemed to be of unsuitable content. Let's go read what they say. You got to take Real Liberty Media out of it. What is this called? Let me scroll to the top. Thank you, Facebook, for looking out for everybody. Community standards. Yes, I'm dangerous in what I say from where I say it at. Right here, Real Liberty Media. That's a Freakers Friday, y'all. Welcome and come on along. Come back tonight for the Freakers Ball. If you want to be free, hey, Brand Thornton. Right on, man. He lacked it. So, yeah, you got to kind of cheat these guys, Facebook, to get past their algorithms. Anytime you put a link in, first of all, thanks, Brand. I don't like that. Thank you, brother. This is y'all remember Brand Thornton when I was out in Vegas, and he and I went to Denver together. Whoops, better spell it right. Say thank you, brother. So this is my friend Brand Thornton, another minor member of history, and I'm gonna go over here. We've got notifications out. Thank you, Grimner. I was pushing buttons and forgot to push that one. Well, I'm going to go back over here to the radio log blog page. Ponder Gander. What matters of Ponder Gander? I'm your host, Vincent Easley. I've got a guest coming in here in a minute or so. He goes by Chaskura in the chat room at Real Liberty Media. And you can, if you're listening live, you can come on over to reallibertymedia.com. It's an IRC channel. Just go to Real Liberty Media. There's a little pop-up thing you can hit right there. Come right on along. You can make up any old name or just go by numbers or whatever you want to do if you'd like to get involved in this conversation. If you're listening later downstream, hopefully it's, if you're doing that, you're over at BitChute. And if you're on YouTube, just do me a favor, stop your player and go to BitChute. Yes. Because YouTube is a lot like Facebook, and they like to censor. You know, I don't know what we'd do if we didn't have people to look out for our brains and the words that be coming from other folks. Well, here we are. We're Friday, just past noon central by about almost 10 minutes of 2019, October the 4th. And this is the second episode of a 13 and a half episode series. You know, that a half will come clear as we go along. Now, here's one example of a half. Is I've got a guest in this time, and I also, well, I'll explain that other part later. So here I am, Vincent Easley the second, and I'm posting in contrast. But I do ask, what are you? What are you? You are what you do, not what you say you'll do. So I do like I did and become the media and take back your future. Journalism, truth, needs defense, and so be the media. Well, you can listen right now or later, but I invite you to come over to chat anytime. Check out Real Liberty Media and see some of the folks that be in there. You might like some and might not like others, so, hey, that's the way the world works. I've got the right date in here. Now I'm going to skip on down here and all this fun stuff I got right there. And I'm going to invite you to explore more and join the journey. And here we go. Your path is pretty much, you know, before I go too far, let me do something and help me and you and make this bigger. Because I write it small so it'll be in context when I'm putting it there. Come on, get bigger. Why ain't you getting bigger? Blow on it. I think that worked. It's not working. It's working. Yay,
hey, glad to help.
Thank you. All right. That did it. Man. All right. So I say explore more and join the journey. And now I get to think of some thanks to some folks along the way through here as I read. And this one, thank you, Frumpy, our very own Frumpy in the chat room. He's giving me a little muse and our tunication to put this portion together. Well, your path is pretty much cut. Write it out as long as it wanders. Wanders. They still never sound right saying it like that. Wander. Well, keep your eyes on the long distance perspective of things that most other folks let slip by their notice. You know, because 20 years from now, you'll be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the ones that you did do. So throw off the bowlines, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover. A lot of people think that Mark Twain wrote that, but actually it comes from H. Jackson Brown Jr. P.S. I love you. Well, we're going to come to a point where I'm going to be thanking you to our anti. Also, it's amazing how all this stuff come together. If you were listening before the recording here in the playlist, you'll find it here at the radio log. And some of that, some of those tunes will have a little attention to the what we're talking about here today. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Well, between soul and sacrifice beats the heart of civilization. And if anybody was an Orville fan, that Bordas said that, if you're a sci-fi fan, given over to what's beyond the what else with a proper homily salute, that Digitus Impudicus. Digitus Impudicus. Hey, if you can't joke them, then well, give them the Digitus Impudicus. Thank you. But giving over to a, that's a lot of noise on that thing on your chest quota. Can you adjust what you did yesterday when we was talking?
We covered so many topics. We were talking about Bible studies and abortion.
I say your keyboard. We adjusted our sound levels yesterday. Did we figure that out?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, give me just a sec.
All right.
Input. How's that?
Let's see. I think so far. All right. Well, I'm almost done right here at this point, and a little bit more, and then you and I are going to talk. Now, has anybody seen, I bet you have, might have been a long time since you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, but here's a couple of lines out of this, and it seems that in this postmodern world, it really has some gravitational pull for some folks. Well, this guy, Belloc, he says to Indiana Jones, he says, "You and I," this is still making that big noise back there in the background. Just going to...
Sorry about that. I'm trying to fix it.
All right. I'll wait for you. No problem. This is what you do on live radio. This is only our second broadcast together.
There, how's that sounded? I was just trying to get it so I could monitor the chat at the same time as we're having the discussion.
Okay, yeah. I'll be back over there too in a minute. All right, so Belloc says to Andy, he goes, "You and I are very much alike. Archaeology is our religion. Yet we, let's see if I can get up here and make, I go put this small. Archaeology is our religion," he says, "yet we have both fallen from the pure faith. Our methods have not differed as much as you pretend. I am but a shadowy reflection of you," he says. "It would only take a nudge to make you like me, to push you out of the light." It's going to tie in, too, to some of our conversation. Indy says, he says, now you're getting nasty, he said, from Raiders of the Lost Ark. 1981, I bet you Gooberzilla... the Hawkster Man. He'd like that movie. Well, here's some stuff I like drug and plucked and pulled and put it down right here. I pull a little muse in of these words and lay them down here from Battlestar Galactica. Gintel Hawk, he's... Oh, man. See, I watched that whole series, the remake, and I think it was probably the greatest series remake and one of the greatest series period that they ever made. I like sci-fi, big sci-fi fan, but anyways, yeah, very I thought it was pretty unique how they ended that series, one big circle. But I don't know, we're going to talk about that. Just Gooder and I are going to be talking about that today, about this question of life and what we got. But what did I pull out here? one more bit of words here, and then Chaskuta and I will take control of the airways and demonstrate to you something. Well, we won't demonstrate to you where is Tamar gone. To ask the question is not an answer of when. People look for complicated answers when terrible things happen. Calculated risk as time marches on. Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. Time marches on. The axe cuts just the same, like lines in the sand, on to extinction. Give me tomorrow. This ain't last year. Oh, death, for whom the bell tolls. In the fight, and here's the antite added. Thank you, this fits perfect. So I'll have to start from the beginning to say it. Oh, death, for whom the bell tolls. In the fight, the ship has sailed, bound by law, dying, lies in the public domain. Gee, ah, fucking pool. Whoa, mule. Thanks, Anti. Muse from the remake series of Battlestar Galactica and a tad bit of a book called Extinction by DJ Moley. Well, that's part of the artunication that I pulled out, where I go out there and grab other people's words and make them my own. Chas Gooda, welcome back, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, a lot of people can't seem to have a conversation on different ideas and notions and want to fight about it, you know? Cause,
yeah, hey, I know the feeling.
Yeah, I mean, if you believe something, it's got to be true, right? If it wasn't true, you wouldn't believe it, wouldn't you say?
Well, that's kind of the problem with belief right there, is that believing it is kind of a special form of pretending it's true instead of like actually being open to the idea that it might not be.
Yeah, huh. You know, Grammy Mary here at Real Liberty Media, she likes to call it belive with a L-I-E, belive, belief.
I mean, that's technically more correct. That is technically how it's spelled. That's a good point that she's made.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what is history anyways, but what was written down by the victors? As a matter of fact, true history has been covered up and destroyed. I just look at, you know, how they got rid of all the books and stuff down in when they took over Mexico when Cortez came.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, that's definitely a component of history. Like, there's, have you ever heard of the book Q that the Bible is theoretically based on?
No, I don't think I have.
There's a theoretical book that's known to scholars as Q only, and it's the original form of modern Christianity that, I mean, when they had the Nicene Convention or whatever, that's when they kind of agreed to start burning that one and have the Jesus one instead.
Wow.
So I mean, there are pre-Jesus forms of Christianity that are kind of documented.
Well, I could go into that a little bit further, but first of all, this book Q, it's a theoretical, so they've imagined...
It's a theoretical book that's referenced, but we don't have a copy. It's one of those that, like, like if something was written down in the Iliad as being, you know, the most popular version of...
I see.
Yeah, it's so that kind of a thing.
Who would have mentioned that then through history? Would it go back to Josephus or...
No, it would Josephus is kind of, like, he was a Jewish guy who was working for the Romans, so he's like a translator and tour guide and diplomat, kind of, like, a fixer, basically.
Yeah, right down
but
the
he was,
journal.
Yeah, so Josephus is the second guy to, like, he's the only guy that specifically says Jesus was the Christ, and he's the one that everybody points to as the reference of, oh, that must make it true, right? Because, like, it's basically ignorant of what the Roman tactics were for dealing with whatever places they invaded. So what they would do is they would have a statue of Caesar that they would bring with them, and they would put it in whatever local temple of whatever city they invaded, and they'd say, okay, you can worship your old gods, but you got to worship this guy as your god, too, and you got to pay taxes. So it was, I mean, I don't know how well documented this is as the basis for the Zealot Uprising in Jerusalem. Do you know the Zealot Uprising is, it's basically when the Romans invaded Israel, or what they called Palestine, they went into the temple, they put in the statue, they're trying to do what they normally do, but this was a different kind of temple. The holy thing wasn't a statue, there was a no graven images commandment, so the holy thing was the book. So there's a plausible case, and I think the book is Caesar's Messiah. I'd have to look up who the author's name is. But this case has been made better than I can make it here, that this was
basically a Roman attempt at a coup d'etat of, here's how we take over this local religion, turn it into a thing that is, you know, render unto Caesar instead of, you know, fight Caesar kind of philosophies and that kind of stuff.
Hey,
so
I'm gonna set my headset down. Excuse me. I'm going to go over here and get a book. I'll be right back. I'll be right back.
Of course. But yeah, anyway, the presentation of this slaves obey your masters, Jews render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, completely absent of any reference to the civil war that would have been raging around Jesus, makes that kind of story where it's really peaceful, really pastoral. He's feeding thousands of people. There's no mention of any physical conflicts where they're, you know, fighting and there's battles or whatever that we know were happening from the archaeology side of this stuff. That's the kind of thing that makes this look plausible if you want to describe it as Roman propaganda. So it's an interesting part of history. It's one of those things where you can't say everything is cut and dry, but given what we do know about the Romans and their operating tactics and what they would do in the battlefield and this, that, and the other thing, it's a very interesting case of what might be some of the origins of what modern Christianity is.
Yeah, it's a lot of speculation. There's Josephus, I think, an accredited historian. People want to make the case, was the man Jesus of Nazareth, and of course his name wasn't said in the, like, Jesus or Jesus.
I mean, when you see his writings, he's kind of on the nose about it. It's one of those, like, he mentions Jesus, and then the next sentence or the next paragraph, I think it is, I forget which, but it's like, and he was the Christ, which Romans don't, like, there was no concept of a Christ in Roman cognition. Like, they just didn't have that idea. So for him to say that is just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Especially, he was writing it in Latin. Latin or Greek, I forget which.
Well, both languages were used pretty close together there.
Yeah.
So the Bible, I guess, we got Latin, Greek, and Hebrew.
Well, the Bible, the texts themselves are Greek, ancient Hebrew, and Aramaic, or I should say ancient Aramaic, because there's a couple of modern surviving forms in different, like Amharic is kind of very closely related. They're Semitic languages. They're actually very closely related to Arabic, too.
What was the Dead Sea Scrolls? Were they written in an Arabic?
I think those were Aramaic but don't quote me on that.
Or were they conifers?
No, cuneiform was thousands of years before that. Like, you got to remember, like, the city of Jericho was supposed to be something like 13,000 years old or something like that. No, I guess 10,000 years old. I might be mixing that up with Göbekli Tepe. But yeah, I think it's about 10,000 years old. And that's like the oldest. And Jericho is also a really interesting case because they've looked for walls and have not found any. So, like, that story kind of seems nonsensical. Like, the marching around walls and the walls collapse thing. Like, what walls? There's just nothing there to find.
Yeah, just because you don't find evidence of some walls somewhere doesn't mean anything. Look at Africa. That back then, in all the Middle East, was lush. I mean, vegetation, trees, grass, fat cattle on every hill.
No, that's true.
Now, all that.
But
and
the claim about Jericho's walls is they were the best.
This happened rather rapidly as far as, you know, time's concerned. So a lot is covered over.
Of course.
Pyramid,
but even accounting for
and
that.
Here in the Americas, even here in the United States, down into Mexico, Central America, and South America, and where the jungle is covered over, you know, there's stuff lost there that still hasn't been found. Then we got mounds here in the Americas.
Oh, yeah, they've been discovering a lot with satellite imaging recently, too.
Yeah, that's cool. Then they got, you know, the mounds here, the Toltec.
In Arkansas, what is it, the Hopi ones? The Hopi Indians, I think?
No, Hopis were out more towards like Arizona and New Mexico that way. Arkansas.
No, I lived in St. Louis for a bit, and I visited some kind of a mound that I think was a Hopi Indian mound. I think that was at least the name given to it.
Yeah, maybe Flower Mound. What's the name of it? I forget. But anyways, yeah, they was up by St. Louis was a humongous trade center up there in Big City.
Yeah.
But there were different ones, and so they've got these epigraphs that, you know, people didn't even know. They're like, wow, that's a big hill. I wonder why that's here all of a sudden. And, you know, they hauled the dirt. A lot of labor. A lot of things.
Yeah,
you know,
like the pyramid in China. Have you heard of?
Which one?
The pyramid in China. Emperor Qin, I think, is his burial mound or something like that, where it's like, why is this mountain square? And then they start doing surveys, and then they find an entrance, and then they find like a bunch of mercury, because there was literally a river of mercury in it.
Is that where the all those terracotta...
I think they were at the entrance on, like, the just one of the faces of it rather than on the inside of it. Like, because I don't think they've actually excavated the inside of it.
Well, I remember it's been decades ago when that was discovered. That was so cool. And they had pictures of all these guys. Each individual terracotta statue was modeled after an actual person.
Yeah.
Each one of them.
And they still don't know how they did it. It's one of those, like, they must have had some way of casting the face and then getting the clay done away.
And, you know, artists, the creativity of man is just fantastic. It's nothing to assume that there were a legion of artists that had the ability to create such works of art.
Especially in China, because they had the ability to support a population of them.
Yeah. It's very interesting that mankind, the distribution, and what people call races, the different races, where, you know, actually humans are all the same race. We're not sub-races. There used to be...
I mean, we're technically all the same species.
Right.
But at the same time, we know that there were different kinds of humans. Like, there Neanderthal would have been a human.
Well, you say we know, but... There's an assumption because you know, you've never walked up and
there is
the
data to support the assertions.
There's also data in mainstream scientists that would tell you that if the Neanderthal was alive today, you could walk up to him face to face and shake his hand and not even know it. I mean, we're looking at variation in skull structure, size. And, you know, bigger heads doesn't mean smarter. You know, you're a bigger brain necessarily.
Oh, no.
All right? So,
but they were very different. Like, they had bigger noses than us because they were just more adapted for physically dealing with the cold climate. They had much bigger eyes, and that's kind of – I think I've heard some theory about, like, they were nocturnally hunting or something like that, or at least had the option to. But the thing that's really interesting about Neanderthal, however is the proper way to say it, is that everybody outside of, like, the southern portion of Africa is between 1 and 4% related to Neanderthal, like literally everyone.
Did you ever read the book series, Clan of the Bear Cave, Jeannie Mao, if I said her last name, Brent? Clan of the Bear Cave?
No, I haven't.
That's pretty fantastic series. I didn't realize when I first started reading that these other people that they're talking about were Neanderthal. I like to say Neanderthal. I'm just going to say it that way. I don't think I'm actually too wrong in saying it like that, right?
That is the proper pronunciation for English. I think it's named after a German village, and they all say Neanderthal, but we've been saying Neanderthal for 100 years now at this point, so we might as well stick with it.
Yeah, I speak American anyways, by golly.
Yeah, and American should be spoken properly.
American. So I have this book here just to give so we can put it in the record here. It's a Josephus, it's the complete works with enlarged type and illustrated too. Just what I need. Josephus is complete works. It includes the life of Flavius Josephus, the antiquities of the Jews, the wars of the Jews, discourse concerning Hades, seven dissertations, table of Jewish weights and measures, a list of ancient testimonies and records cited by Josephus, and texts of all the Old Testament parallel to Josephus' histories. History. Well, there it is. There's a big long content list in there, and notes all throughout. I reckon. If I was to be a betting man, notes in there and everything else. Yeah, got the paper clips, but it's been a long time since I cracked any of that. We're not really in here for a discussion on so much of. I don't know what I would say that I would exclude in that, because I guess we're really not excluding anything. Somebody said something. Over at Real Liberty Media. Grimner said, Cave Bear. Bear Cave. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, Clan of the Cave Bear. That's right. Clan of the Bear Cave, Valley of the Horses, and there was another one. But anyway, so I was assuming when I started reading that the peoples there were black people and white people, and the black people was the ones that found the little girl and took her in as the orphan. But no, come to find out later on, she introduced a black man into the story, and obviously they're Neanderthal. I get it. Yeah, maybe I was just slow and dense. It was a long time ago when I read it, but
yeah, and that's kind of one of those, like, oh, that's the origin of black and white, and that's one of the things that's come up recently, is that the pale skin of Northern Europeans is kind of a response to the adding a lot of grains to our diets, and also being in a cold climate where we're covered up a lot of the time.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, a lot of environmental factors.
Yes, and that's like over the last 10,000 years kind of a thing, rather than, like, I think it's 40,000 years is the accepted timeline of Neanderthals largely starting to go extinct.
Well, you're using words, and you're trying to appeal to authority and give accreditation into these numbers.
I mean,
they're arbitrary. I don't care how many letters a guy has behind his name and how many books he's read and all that.
No, it's never about the authority.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying, because there's different ideas on time, so you can't. You can't include that statement
right,
with me.
But we do have a consistent measure of time, and according to the data that we have, assuming that we're not just incapable of assessing reality and we can actually know things, this is what would be the case.
No,
yeah.
The time, the whole time measurement thing, that's very arbitrary and not reliable.
Well,
and
none
of the methods, and I'll go through some lists here of some things with you, the carbon-14 dating. The uranium.
Oh,
band.
Yeah, this is one of the
creationist
things.
They're very, very
unreliable.
They can.
Unreliable past 20,000 years is the thing.
Well,
why it's unreliable.
It's unreliable to
unreliable
test.
Period. It's just unreliable past a certain threshold.
They can test a live mollusk or a clam and have it listed as being 30 something thousand years old. Whatever,
yeah, they can, and that's what,
but, yeah,
I mean, it's,
and it's
one of
dead.
Those,
it's not.
They
no,
know
it's
that
alive.
They don't rely solely on carbon dating. That's just a thing that everybody has accounted for.
Yeah, that's not that. None
the
of those. They can test, and they'll get different numbers every time they test, and they'll go to put them in there and get a mean number, or take the one that they're
right,
hoping.
Right. What
for.
They do is they take the average of what they've tested across the different materials that they're testing, because the carbon dating, for example, what they're doing is they're testing how many isotopes of different, I think it's nitrogen breaks down into carbon is the thing that they're testing for.
Half-lives,
it's one of those,
there's different methods,
there's different half-lives of different kinds of atoms, and over time, like, the protons and neutrons and whatever in an atom will just, from the energy that's in there, will split it apart, and it's just a statistical thing over time. Like, uranium breaks down into lead, so in order to test the purity of your uranium, you're testing for the amount of lead in it, and it's like, that's actually the origin of, like, all of the clean room stuff, so that they could get accurate measurements, was a way of, so the guy that figured out that lead in gasoline was such a big problem was actually trying to test uranium, and he kept getting his samples messed up because he was basically just trying to count how much of the uranium had turned into lead in a specific, you know, a rock sample, a soil sample type of thing. But because the entire environment of the entire continental United States was polluted by leaded gasoline, it was a very difficult task to even rule out the amount of lead that was atmospherically there. So, I mean, this is kind of a deep wormhole if you want to dive into it.
Well, I
but
mean, there's a lot of specifics in there, but I'm telling you, measurements and all these ideas of, I mean, especially when you're trying to say, listen, hold on, when you're trying to say, yeah, a lot of them are not usable. As a matter of fact, I would say,
not usable as schedules. Like, you can't say, we're going to be there at 1 o'clock according to carbon dating. It's not that specific. It gets it down to a couple of years kind of tolerance. It's not an exact dating thing.
Plus
but
or
what
minus
you're trying to do,
150,000 years, or something like that.
No. With the carbon dating, remember,
I've been
you're
ridiculous.
Not going past.
Listen, is what I'm trying to say is all of these measurements here that they come up with, look how big the universe is and all the possibilities of measurements. And then you say, well, I can look at this thing here for a lifetime and measure that. And then the next feller can measure it after that and take a means. But is there a constant? There, you don't know what the constant has been. No, you don't know.
Actually,
that
we
means,
do. The constant
that, means that
life.
You that means that you are going about in a observation as a uniformitarianism. If I said that right, didn't run out of wind. Right? That everything's consistent and steady state. Smooth decline.
It's not quite that simple anymore. The science has moved on from that point.
Yeah.
But the constant that is the yardstick that everything is measured against is the speed of light.
Yeah, but that's
it's
not
the same speed that electrons propagate. It's the same speed that particles move across, you know, transmit their force. It's the same speed at which gravity travels through the universe. It's the fastest possible speed that something can move through space, but it's not like if you're at one end of the universe and something else is at the other end of the universe, those two things can be moving apart from each other faster than the speed of light and not be breaking that because the expansion of the universe is something that, is, I mean, the further away from whatever, the further away from it, or the faster away from it you're going. The expansion is continuously accelerating. And that's one of those, like, you can look at, I mean, basically all of the galaxies and see that they're all turning red faster than they should be because they're accelerating outwards. And literally, the space where the light is coming to us from is becoming a bigger space, so it's becoming bigger light, and the wavelength is becoming a bigger wavelength as it comes to us from that acceleration outwards. It's kind of a mindfuck, but we could basically look at that, wind the clock backwards and say, okay, how long would it take until it was like all at one space? Because it's accelerating away from us, so if we wind the clock backwards, it's coming back to us. And when we do that, it's about 13.7 billion years to get everything into one space.
Let me ask you, how did this start at one little central point then and expand?
It's not a central point. That's kind of the mindfuck. It's literally
okay, wait a minute. Hold on.
The universe is
how,
also the center
how did
of the
everything
universe.
Get from one point and then go out away from everything else and keep going out towards where there's nothing else out there? It's going to something that to a place where there's nothing, right? And taking that space slowly. But yeah, so you can't have an explosion just go boom and then become orderly.
Yeah, well, that's the misconception is that it's an explosion because the description of it is the Big Bang, quote unquote.
We'll call it an
expansion. And it's not a Big Bang. It's just kind of like a big, like, it's not a balloon popping. It's the balloon suddenly becoming a bigger balloon, so all of the gas in it is rushing away from it, and it's kind of a vacuum inside the balloon kind of thing.
It has to be a little bit of order in the chaos, I guess, right?
Well, order emerges from chaos as a pattern of it.
You'd make a good government man, I think. You ever
I don't hate myself enough.
You ever consider going to work for the county extension office, sir?
Oh, fuck no.
Maybe
fuck
run,
those guys.
Maybe run for dog catcher.
But
hey, do me a favor and hold the F bombs off for, I mean, it ain't nothing but a word, but some people that would just go right to them and scare them plumb to death. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, some people that maybe to that point right there probably aren't listening to this anymore anyway, so I guess
no worries.
Sake, who are we going to bother by saying it? There's Flash Somebody. He's in chat. He's one of my...
Hiya, Flash Somebody.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine. And me and him been doing this stuff here, talking words on the radio for a few years now, he and I.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. Yeah. Can see why you do it.
He tried to break up. We're like friends, like, you know, like, what do you call it? Like a friend that's kind of like a brother that's like on the internet that you used to talk to on Skype every morning. And like, you're like, man, this is my brother, fuck my brother, right? He'll for sure. Nope. Yeah. But, so we've gone through things and we've, you know... he and I have a lot of stuff we don't agree on, but you know what? It's like, so what? It don't stop us from being friends. And sometimes we say words, and especially the words come out of my mouth, are misconstrued. Not maybe I didn't enunciate it right or well enough, but there's misunderstandings. But we can talk, but there is certain guidelines. You know, you don't, as far as, you know, being friends and discussion and stuff like that. But a lot of people don't follow any kind of guidelines or rules, you know. It's a... because of the way the world is. It's a fallen world. It's death comes. Death awaits.
Well, that fallen world thing is just part of the Christian mythology of it. What part of the world is fallen? Like, the sun's still shining. There's still leaves on the trees. It's still the world. It'll still be the world without us if we all die.
Okay, how did you get to these races? I'm going to call them races, the different subspecies or whatever of man. Isolation of gene pool.
From speciation. It's just an evolution thing.
I would call it de-evolution because you can't take a chihuahua.
No, because
you cannot,
it's changing.
Wait a
that
minute, listen. Hold on a minute, buddy. Hold on a minute.
Evolution.
Hold on a minute, buddy. When we come to a point and I'm going to have a counter here, you got to wait for me to say something. And because you're running over the top of me and then running off and not even going and nailing this one point down. So anyway, speciation, then we'll call it. You say evolution. I call it de-evolution because you're not getting any more information. Where are you going to get it? You cannot take and breed a wolf out of from a chihuahua. You know, they had a common ancestor and then speciation. Well, you cannot culminate, even if you took all the different types of people around the world, you could not culminate them back into their ancestors. If people think that cavemen were stupid, upon hard times, their brain function was pretty good. As a matter of fact, if somebody had to survive with the skills of a caveman, that they would surely die world.
Sure, there are people that do that.
There are some people, but the majority of people, just like...
The majority of people would surely die. Yeah, I'll side with that.
Who was it talking about children the other day? And it's like, are you kidding me? The people... No, I think on purpose people are being dumbed down, and there's a lot of methods for that. Do you think that somebody could go to school and graduate 12 years of public school and... not be able to read. I've seen it happen. It just boggles my mind. I read and wrote before I went to school, before I started school.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine.
There's differences in cognition. Like, what is it? Dyslexia is a thing. There's also, what's it called? It's not dysnumeracy, but there's one that's dyscalculus, I think is the word, where you can't actually process numbers the way that other people do. And so the people that have this disorder are linguistically, like, they'll learn... like it's different words and they have to add the words together to get a special kind of sentence if they're going to do math, and they're just always terrible at math. Can't
that come off
folks.
Fat Albert, didn't it? Let's see.
No, that's a real disorder.
I'm just kidding you. Abadoobadiba. I thought that's what it was going to be.
Hey,
it's Fat Albert. Oh, you know what? There you go. That's pretty good. But I don't think we can... we might get... censored if we talk about Bill Cosby because he's a was he still funny?
Well,
is he funny still after knowing that he was a creep?
Think the jokes can be good jokes without him having to have been a good person.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those, like, knowing what he did, it's difficult to go back and appreciate it.
Now, what about Robin Williams on the other hand? You know, a man that brought so much joy and laughter to millions of people, probably. And he somehow suffered to the point of taking his own life.
Well, that's suicide is what we should expect when the experience of pain overcomes the ability to deal with pain. It's just one of those, like, I'm glad that we got him for as long as we did, rather than just sad that he ended his life, you know, his mid-60s or whatever it was. That's an average life expectancy already. He already had a really great career. We all know his name. We all knew and loved his work. Like, that's already a win.
You said that suicide, what did you say, was a natural... or unexpected.
Suicide is the natural result when the experience of pain overcomes the ability to deal with pain.
No, most creatures, man and beast alike, fight till the tooth and nail, as I was saying before.
In order to keep a life,
keep
you know,
living.
Is a viable life. But I've also seen animals try to commit suicide. Like, there's a lot of cases, like the sun bears that they have in Asia where they're harvesting the gallbladder out of them, where they're keeping the bear locked in like a mummy kind of cage around it the whole damn time, those bears, if they let them out, they will try to kill themselves.
How do they try to kill themselves? They don't have opposing thumbs?
They don't have opposing thumbs, but they have claws built into their hands.
So what do they
like,
do?
Just rip the right artery and they're gone.
So they actually have they know enough to cut their damn throat, their own throat, with the claws.
Yep.
And there's some documentation on this?
Oh, yeah.
It's
one of those, like, it makes you look hard at what PETA's doing and saying, oh, maybe they have a point. Like, it's kind of a torturous nightmare of what they go through for that Chinese medicine bullshit that they're actually... And nothing against Chinese people, it's just, like, there are elements of Chinese culture that are fucked up and need to be fixed. Like,
There's tradition from all sorts of people.
It's tradition.
It's tradition.
Absolutely.
Right, I agree. Yeah, but on the other hand, you can't go and force somebody that's been keeping bears and cutting their pancreas out and eating their liver, whatever, for countless.
I think it's gallbladder, and I think the thing is that they can cut half of it out, and the other half will regrow the rest. Uh-huh. So they just keep doing that for years at a time.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. But like I said, do you and I have the right to go over there and say, hey, stop that. Don't do that bear no more.
But we do have the right to mock them from here.
Yeah,
we do have the right to say that's stupid and evil and wrong.
Yeah.
That's well within our rights.
Absolutely. I think people should talk. And I encourage people to talk. And especially if... I think it should be said and heard, especially if it's wrong, I think is what I was going to say with that. Wrong ideas need to be heard, too. And there's never, ever a time that words should ever be censored. I've been censored over on Facebook. They don't like Real Liberty Media now. It's beyond their community standards and guidelines. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I can't imagine why.
I just discovered.
Whatever.
Yeah, I just discovered that this morning that they gigged me, man. They scrubbed my stuff. I was like, what? Because I was like, what happened? I noticed it in my radio log blog that this content is not available. What do you mean it ain't? And I go like, well, did they remove it? Can they, I thought the person's timeline there over at Becky's, maybe, I didn't know. So I was like, nah. So I discovered it, and they don't like people to say things. Could anybody ever be afraid of what somebody else has to say? Are they afraid that might poison the mind of their children or might cause them to cast doubt upon their own faith?
I would be afraid of that. Like, we have religions that we know can't all be true because they're too conflicting between each other. So, I mean, Buddhism probably isn't correct if Christianity is correct, kind of a thing.
You're saying that it has to be one or another, and you're...
What they're saying is, like, I'm just saying what they said.
Well, yeah, you're saying what they said, but that doesn't make it a fact. You're parroting in a sense.
That's kind of my point.
Yeah, these ideologues of opposition, and I think, you got to give an explanation for origins, so if there's no God, there's no absolute condition of right and wrong. So then it becomes situational ethics. Is it okay to kill now or then? Is it okay? Is it okay to eat the liver of the bear, the gallbladder or whatever? Where is
it any worse than eating a chicken?
It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong to harm.
If you kill the bear and the bear is gone, the bear is no longer going to experience the loss of its gallbladder or experience the slavery of being tied up in chains or whatever and having that cut out of it constantly. If it's not having the experience, that moral condition of that situation is removed, then go ahead, eat the rest of the bear too.
I'm kind of ashamed really that I'm not now, but a vegetarian for a while. I thought it's a much better life. It feel a lot better. I mean
it's a good attempt. I don't think it's necessarily better. I don't think it's viable for the whole human species. Like, there's how many?
There's
6 billion of us, 7 billion of us now.
There's adaptations.
And we're going to farm the entire surface of all arable land in order to get enough soybeans that we can eat that instead of cows.
Well,
fuck off.
Soybeans take the way. Who was talking about that?
Especially if you consider with the monocrop kind of agriculture that we have, would be killing as many or more animals. Like, how many deer fawn would get chewed up by combines that didn't see them because they're lying down in the grass type of deal? Like, and that meat would automatically be wasted and not accessible to humans anymore for our benefit. It's just, like, it's impractical, it's not well thought out, but it's a very good, serious first attempt. Well, it's one of the, like, when, you know, 1,000 years ago when people didn't have any other option than to stop eating the things that they could perceive to be alive.
Yeah, hold on. See, you're assuming soybeans, right, and corn. Well, this is the problem. Hold on. All right, stop. Let me talk. All right. Okay. So, soybeans, corn, rice, all this stuff, and the majority now of all the processed food delivered as feed, not food, feed to your grocery store from the manufacturer direct to you, and a lot of that stuff has poisons in it, chemicals, and, I mean, you look at margarine and, for an example, garbage. But it's cheap, just like the stuff they pull out of the ground is cheap. Horsepower, well, transportation, all that, that makes it all possible. But while people are doing this, they want to make profit, right? And there goes that, well, how far will you go? Will you, what amount of harm are you willing to allow to another to benefit yourself? There's a question. Now, some people come to this point, well, that's just the way things are done, and justify it in their mind. But if we were, with the technology we have today, I remember where this came to mind. I was just listening to a broadcast in April 2014 at the Bundy Ranch, and I had Chuck Ocelli. He was my producer for me out in the field. Had Ryan Bundy on, had Michael Hoff, from Dallas, what's your name? Matt Mark wrote, sorry, it'll come to me. Anyways, so they're talking about the food and stuff, right? Well, I mean, with technology we got today, how big an area do you think it would take contain that you could produce all the necessities right there, even your grains?
Well, how long of a time scale are we looking at? Because how many times can you farm the same plot of land and get the same crops out of it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're not going to be farming any land necessarily. You've got a little tower that you're growing. There's lots of examples of those. Dadgummit, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting your name. I'm going to have to look it up. No, I can't.
Well, if you try to think of it. Nutrients and all that stuff, right? I mean, theoretically, they're looking at doing like nuclear sub-sized agricultural things in space to get people to Mars and back. Because it's one of those, like, if you could grow enough potatoes and have, I don't know, maybe some kind of a shrimp or something like that that lives in there symbiotically, so it's using the oxygen that the plants are generating and providing a little bit of the nutrients, and it's sufficiently nutritious for the people that would be eating it. That kind of a deal is what people are looking seriously at. And theoretically, if you have the right getup, you can do it in a very small space. The problem is, how long can that be sustained? How long can that reaction continue reacting?
Well, right here on Earth, you know, we're not in a closed system. If you've got like a container thing that you want to grow in, it's easy to add. If you're going to, you could look at aquaponics beyond your hydroponics. Yeah, people grow that hydroponic weed and kiwi.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to reference with the shrimp thing.
Organic, what is it? Oh, dadgummit. I've drawn a blank on who I'm looking for. Drew, was it? No, it's Chuck Horton was on, and Chuck Ocelli, he was the producer for the broadcast, but I've drawn together the other part of this half series in this 13 and a half episodes. Well, after this part of this, I have another part, which is I will be, coincidentally, the time. I don't think it's coincidence. I think time kind of falls in if you don't try to disturb it for your own benefit. Just kind of like get on it and go in the right direction. Comes together. But anyways, I digress. The Bundy Ranch situation. The trial was supposed to have started and kicked off here 2 years ago, October 10th. The 1 October event, I think, is what they've decided to call the mass shooting in Las Vegas, where all those people were killed out there by that guy, Steve Paddock. And he had bought a gun. He had a place up in Mesquite. And so, I'm going to be covering the week. Like, for this week, I'll pick up. I've got some stuff to relate back in history, back to 2017, and then also I'll be going back into 2014. And then as the dates come along together for the week of, although this is October, the week of, during the month of April, those days, there's be some events that I will bring in and place in. So this is another of my rewrites at telling the Bundy Ranch story. So I'm just going to keep doing it and telling it until I finally get it. It's getting easier, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, it's an important thing to have a good account of, too.
Yeah. Well, writing is not natural to me at all. And it may be obvious, especially to somebody that writes. It is getting a little easier. I'm doing some different methods, right? One thing I've done for a while and I like to do is take in the pull and pluck these words out of all this, that where they're at out there in the world, and songs and sounds and music and movies and even what
learning from that.
I actually have you quoted over here in my notes that I used our last broadcast together. You had said something and I used it into the blog and maybe it was one after. It's all these notes are long. It's up in here. Where are you at? It says Tuscuda in it.
Oh, yes. If you send it to that account, right, I think send it to Josh Gerectum. Just a fun note to anybody who's listening and going, what the fuck did he just say? It's just one of those, like, in order to differentiate, I have different accounts on this chat room thing, I'll just add different asshole acronyms to the end of my normal screen name, Choskura. Well, so Choskuranus, Choskur asshole, etc.
I'm Vinny in the chat room, and I always add something on to there. Verte, I think it is. I mean, that's Spanish. I came to see you. So the variations. I did one was Vinny. To war is, but it was a play there. Benito Juarez. Ha ha. Lots of, I don't know, maybe about 300 different nicks, or maybe getting close to 500 I've used. I didn't even keep track of them. It's been interesting.
Yeah.
I'm expecting somebody within a half hour. But I want to. I'm going to have somebody show up here, and I'll give you just a minute.
You're good.
Yeah, so I'll mute up and. We've come up to an hour, but I don't think we're quite ready to close out. I'll probably we'll take a little bit more time here, and then I'm going to go, I'll close out solo. Solo,
okay.
You can't hear me, huh? But we can go, I think we got another 30 minutes in between me and you here, or 45, I don't know how long it's, I didn't really finish my written record over here. One section, I just do it all up there, and I've got to go back and unjumble it.
Yeah.
So sometimes from writing, you know, man, I tell you, I would spend 45 minutes trying to write one paragraph, and then I get in like, what, should it be at or to or on or, you know, and then you're just like, that's right. Yeah, well, either way. And then you get in these passive, use of passive verbs and stuff, and like, man, I quit school when I was young and hit the road. I didn't take formal education. But I've read my whole life.
I mean, I did a little bit of formal, but yeah.
So, I've read a lot in life. And you think the writing would stick to you somehow just by the fact that you read a lot. That I never paid any attention to the punctuation and all the specifics, you know, because I understood the words I was seeing in front of my eyes. But now, I start reading people that are good writers and take note of how they're separating a sentence and so forth. I never have, and I don't understand it. Well, I mean, I was looking for a map that I drew in 2017 in all my notebooks, and there I didn't count them, but there's a whole bunch of them. I couldn't find it. It's a map of the Stephen Easley Cemetery back in Kingsport, Tennessee, and I called into the Freakers Ball that night. I camped out in one of my ancestors' cemeteries and cleaned the cemetery up. That was a lot of fun. But anyways, I plotted out all the headstones, and I've got a map, and I know I've got it, and it'd have to be in one of those. Maybe I've skimmed over it and not seen it. But I was going to give that to my brother, because I was going to, I'll find it, I will, and I've never been able to find it so far. I hope I didn't somehow lose one notebook, but I don't recall losing a notebook ever.
Well, that's the kind of thing. If you lost it, you wouldn't recall losing it.
I think I would, because I knew what all I had, my notebooks, all of them. Well, I got a big old thing full of them now, just from 2 years of hauling. That didn't even count what I had from before that. And, you know, yeah. I just write stuff down there because, you know, you get, like, think of something and then you don't remember it later. Just like, man, I wish I wrote that down.
Yeah.
And then you can unjumble it and make sense of it afterwards, even.
Yeah, I went through all of my notebook a couple of years ago and got pictures of the stuff that I thought was important and digitized all of it. So I've kind of downsized all my notebooks and have them kind of searchable. It's not a perfect system yet. I still need to kind of organize all that shit into a proper database. But I've got some huge portion of it in Evernote, and that makes it easy to just, you know, look up whatever it is that I need to find. It makes all of the text searchable, which is the nice thing.
Man, I have terrible handwriting. Spelling.
It almost doesn't matter. If they use humans to figure out what you're writing down, if they can't do it computationally.
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder what it is I wrote. I go, huh?
Yeah. There's always those where there's just not a way to get something comprehensible out of it.
But sometimes I just go ahead and put it down there, even though that makes sense. And like I've got a portion up here on my radio blog page here to be unjumbled. I said, let me just put it up there, because I've got it. It seems like I've almost got to push publish before I can see the mistakes and we'll see what needs to be changed. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, I'm going to mute up for a minute. I'm going to grab something to drink here. I'll be right back.
You're good. That sounds like a good plan. I'll be right back, too.
All right. Well, let me do that. Let me take a little pause here. We're at past the top of the hour. I'm going to push pause on this record. Yeah, I was pushing things out of my way and didn't push the button for record. But here we are, back to say bye-bye. And we were saying things that we've said and we'll say again, and that's okay. This has been the second episode of a new series season on all the other flavors you might want to shake out on this taste and flavor. What is it called? Oh, I'm coming up with a new one. Of radio reading, but this is radio writing so far. So good. Things are going as planned for the most part. That's Chas Gura has been along with me as we've done a little fencing, just a little bit, and talking about some different ideas and notions about what it is this world is all about. Tell everybody good night, Chas Gura.
You all have a kick-ass day now, you hear?
Good night, John Boy. Hey,
yeah,
you know what today?
Doing
this hey, yeah, I enjoy it. I'm going to do some more with you. Listen, do you know what today is right here at Real Liberty Media? It's Freakers Friday, man. That's right. Come back at 11 o'clock Eastern and get your freaking balls going. It might be against the wall, but, hey, it'll be fun for y'all. Come on, no, for real. Grimner Moose Girl, I think. Let me go back to chat over here. Jungulum.
Yeah, instead of carpe diem, carpe jugulum. Seize life by the throat.
Ah, I like it. I like it.
It's actually the title of a really good book from the Discworld series.
Huh. Yeah, so that's rather fitting for this broadcast. So I left off, I read some stuff while I wasn't recording, but I think I'll come back and do a short one on this. Maybe that's how I'll run this, the half portion of these, and do an extra and pull the Bundy portion of this aside And
The Bundy one sounds like you have a lot of material that you need to get organized, and like it sounds like its own, like it should be a radio pre-recorded thing that you can just play on the air.
I've got
like there's just so much to say about it.
I've got my own material galore, and my it's already there. And last time I said, oh, this would be real easy. All I got to do is it's like, there it is. Go get it. Well, I'm trying again. I'm going to pick it up as I go along in chronological order here. So October was the time that it really kicked off, and then it was delayed. And I gotta push some instructions here before I miss this opportunity. I consider myself, I'm an actual witness. I was a witness for the federal trial for the Bundys. I was there in 2014. I was there in 2017 and 18 for the trial itself reporting. I was interviewed locally. I was quoted on National Public Radio, PBS. And I've got less than a minute for these instructions to go down. The instructions are fire in the hole. It is a 420 somewhere. And that's 2 hours away. So, yeah, if you're in the Atlantic Ocean, you'd be actual. All right.
Yep.
Well, okay, so there I was out there, and I've got lots of information, and I know the right people to go to clarify any information that I may have found that I might need to know more of. I know where to go find. And I got the chance to meet the mainstream media, these big people that put the words out there on the papers and stuff like that, and they get people to say words. I call it parroting. You know, you can hear somebody parrot these words. Where'd they come from? Well, it's not like you went out and picked them and plucked them yourself like fresh ripe fruit off a tree. Delicious. No, you took the crap, the clap, the scraps from the sold out peoples that they are. The prostitutes. The paid propagandists. And hey, maybe they believe that crap. Or maybe they don't and just want you to. Huh. Well, hey, this is a perfect time to end it. It's 20 after. Happy 420! Come on back to Real Liberty Media. Tonight, Sunday, come on along. Blues Trivia. Starting at noon Eastern, then 3 o'clock. Hal Anthony comes from behind the woodshed. You know, there's a can of whoop ass. It comes with instructions. So don't take anything for granted. Do not assume. Don't open your own can until you know you can do it safely and reliably every time. Right there, Hal Anthony. Yes, sir. And Monday, we've got to what? Trim leftovers. There's no fresh can of whoop ass that night, buddy. Yeah, I missed half of it, Grim. Sure did. Hey. It was practice. Yeah, and I think Flash is back in a perfect world on Tuesdays. I believe that's like 7 o'clock his time in Denmark inland. So I'm going to calculate that to somewhere maybe in the afternoon in the Americas where I'm at. Hey, go check the schedule and figure it out. And see you next time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for coming along. Just good. Appreciate it. And I'll go push the button and buttons, I tell you. Be the death of us all. Thanks, Jessica. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Say big bye.